led by Saturday Night Live alum Denny Dillon. Improv Nation is an ensemble of actors who improvise comedy and drama right before your eyes, right before their eyes, actually. They have presented their totally unscripted evenings to delighted audiences at venues throughout the Hudson Valley. True members are Denny Dillon, Jason Downs, Davis Hall, Mikhail Horowitz, Nicole Quinn, Sophia Robb?
Downs, yes.
And David Smilo, who is to my immediate left. And they'll be performing Saturday night at Shadowland Theater in Ellenville. Denny Dillon is a Tony-nominated actress. She won a Cable Ace Award for ABC's hit series Dream On, and her film credits include Saturday Night Fever, Ice Age, and United 93. She joins us this morning with fellow troupe member David Smilo. Welcome. It's wonderful to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Joe. What an intro.
I love having you on the program.
Well, I love being here. It's always so much fun.
This is what I get out of this. Considering you've come back and you've talked to us a few times about these Improv Nation shows, my assumption is you like doing this.
I'm actually on fire doing it. I feel such a passion about improvisation. Recently, I was at Hartford Stage doing a scripted play, Boeing Boeing, and it was very funny. But I must tell you, and I was funny. The production was funny. It was all good. But I must tell you, I think I'm so addicted to improvisation and the thrill of cliff diving and no script. And then, of course, I work with, amazing talented actors like David, who's here with us, and Mikhail Horowitz and Nicole, and so it's like you're not alone in it, but I really do love it. I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, I would think it would, like a script, it'd kind of be a pain in the neck after you've been used to being able to deviate.
Yes, it is that when you're used to be able to really go out on a limb and then other people will go there with you. I don't know. It's such an exciting adventure that when you're in a scripted play, you have to, say the lines that are written.
It is, to me, and I'm interested in David's perspective on this as well, but let me begin with you in the sense of, because you were really, you had formal training in this. You were taught.
Yes, I went to Syracuse University, and I studied drama. I've studied with Lee Strasberg, Mary Tarsi. I have been lucky enough to be, on Broadway and stuff. But yes, I have training, and I had training. Are you talking about acting training or improvisation training?
I'm talking about improv training.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I had improvisation training with Viola Spolin, who wrote, improvisation in the theater. She's like a pioneer, as well as Del Close, one of the founders of Second City, and when I was on Saturday Night Live. So, yeah, the thing about improv is a lot of people think that it's just like chaos, like anything happens. Actually, there's guides, there's rules that you do, like no questions or heighten and explore, agree and move forward. You're always agreeing, you never deny, which I think is what creates the comedy, because in life people deny each other, there's conflict. So when we keep agreeing, like I love your blue hair, and you agree with that and you move forward, and you must like these pink earrings as well.
Yes.
Although I just asked a question, so that would be no good.
So if you say, I love the blue hair, and I say, that's not blue, then I've shot you down.
You've shot me down, and we can't move forward. You've invalidated me, but if I say, I love your blue hair, and you say something, like agree and move forward.
Oh, okay. So and I would say, yeah, isn't it nice? I just had it done yesterday.
Yeah, beautiful. I have to get the name of the woman who did it.
Yeah, she only comes in on Fridays, and she
That's
has an accent.
That's not a problem. I'm open on Fridays. I have a free schedule.
Her name is Violet.
Her name is Violet. There you go.
That's David.
Okay, so and that's how it goes.
That's how you agree and move forward, heighten, explore. But
But how do you then make it funny?
Well, we have really funny people.
Wait, what do you mean?
He just asked a question. We have.
He just asked a question.
We just have really funny.
None more of that, guest. You just answers only.
Okay.
Actually, the way it gets funny is listening and building. And David,
you're aware of, if I talk about your blue hair, then you want the answer to then elicit some sort of, I assume, at least get to a point where it will elicit a humorous response.
Well, I find it's a very physical thing.
Yes, it is.
When
physical.
I'm looking at Denny, which is always funny anyway, so you can't help but answer in a funny. When I look at Denny or any of the other company members, there's a look in people's eyes which is almost equally split between absolute terror and excitement, because you sort of say, oh, I see what's going on. We don't know what's going to come out of our mouths next. No. But we're sort of with each other. And then something will come out. We build on it. And the next thing you know, something's funny. It's not really an idea. It's an impulse. It's almost physical. And it's really, that's the cliff diving aspect, I think, that Denny's talking about. At least for me, the sense that something is really organically funny coming up from the ground through us, through this interaction. And it's not a plan and it's not scripted. We don't know where the joke is, the punchline is. We've discovered it together, and that look in the eye is like saying, I'm terrified. Is it, there's something coming, isn't there? And you say, yes, there's something coming. Blue hair. Yep. And then it sort of builds, and it's really a rush. It's really, and sometimes it doesn't work, but it doesn't matter because we all trust each other. We go on to the next thing.
The other thing, Joe, too, about improvisation, which I think is just good for life, it's just one tries to be as relaxed as absolutely possible in your center when you don't have a clue what's going to happen next. And that's a good way to live. So with that relaxation, you can have all cylinders going, your eyes, your ears, you must hear everything, see everything, give and take, listen. And I don't know, things just happen that are funny. We also, as David mentioned, it is very physical. The physical, you give a clue through physicality and attitude, something that, you know, things can be built on, and you also physicalize the environment. Because if it gets just into talking, that's when you're going to sink.
He mentioned a word that I think obviously is key to that, this all, which is trust.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you have what I would term to be a fairly large company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a large troop of people. So you have...
there's seven of us, and at Shadowland, we're adding Lori Wilner, so there'll be eight. All of us came from the Actors and Writers Theater, and we've worked together on scripted and shorts and readings, and I taught the company improv. But we get together and we rehearse, and it's like, well, how do you rehearse improv? We get together and we work out, and we build that trust. So I know that if I fall, someone's going to catch me, or, you know, we do a game called Freeze Tag, where you go up and you doing a quick improv and someone runs up and tags you and then goes into something else. I know I'm not going to be up there too long, but the key thing is trust.
I was talking to Brad Sherwood and Colin Mochrie, who do Whose Line Is It Anyway? And they go out and do shows now together. And they've been working together for a long time.
Yes.
And I said to them, you know, they were telling about, you know, how there is that old married couple thing where you can finish each other's sentences.
Mm-hmm.
But they said the most fun is when you don't know what the answer of how to finish it. And then you're having fun with the person and you know that they'll be able to get out of it, but you give them an opportunity to change it up and give them something different that they can respond to. So that everybody, as David said, it has that fear in the eye.
Yes,
of what is next.
We're linked that
way. And the excitement. That's sort of fun, because the trust is that I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to up the ante. Okay, we're in this together. We're all on the same side. And I think there is conflict, but the conflict is we're coming at it from the same standpoint, not an oppositional notion. There's tension in scenes. There are things that are unresolved, but it's not conflict in that it's one person fighting the other, although the illusion can be that it's an arguing couple.
Right,
it's somebody who's stolen something from somebody else. It doesn't mean that there aren't emotions or situations that are off limits. It's odd that where the rules say don't ask questions, don't negate what's going on, but actually that enhances the sense of risk sometimes, the sense of danger in the scene. And
also,
sometimes the scenes are very dramatic, not just
comedic. Yes, it's true. And also, sometimes in terms of conflict, you can create a scene which would be conflict, and yet you keep agreeing so that it's actually becomes quite comic, because the agreeing and moving forward is what allows you to build a scene. As soon as you ask a question, everything comes to a stop. As soon as you negate, everything comes to a stop, and you can't move forward. That's why those rules are in improv.
Much of the improv that I have seen is around what are either referred to as games or you know, there are certain, you were talking about freeze and tag and things. So there's sort of a vague structure.
Is a structure and there is a goal. Like our act one is all theater games and improvisation games. With like there's one that called Contact, where you have a scene which it's also very interactive. We get places from the audience. They'll give us a suggestion like a doctor's office, and then Contact, you can't talk until you make physical contact with the person. Mm-hmm. And or Gibberish Interpreter, which David had this brilliant idea the other week, where someone talks in a gibberish, gibberish, and then say they're interpreted. But he had this idea to take it further, where they speak in gibberish, and the interpreter interprets it, and it's a poem.
The title of which is given by the audience at that moment.
The audience would give us the poem title, and then because we have an exercise called poem, and then Act Two is nonstop improv. We'll get a theme from the audience, and we do like a tapestry of just a game builds on a game builds on a game, and then we don't stop, and that's terrifying but lovely.
What is it about the audience being a part of it that adds to the comedy and their enjoyment? Because one of the things I've noticed is that you can I don't think I've ever laughed as hard in my life as I have at improv shows sometimes, where you just it's this convulsive laughter, and then you're here at the water cooler the next day and you try to explain it and you just have people just staring at you, not knowing what the hell you're talking about. How do you explain that? Because it's just such a free emotion and it's so much fun, but it is hard to explain very organic comedy.
I think it's very mercurial and it's very in that moment. And I think that the audience is actually, you know, they're seeing all this stuff happen right before their eyes.
Element of surprise is one thing. Also, the risk-taking. When you think about big blockbuster comedies, movies, plays, those things are researched and worked on and worked on and worked on. There's the spontaneity is very different than an improv. And I think the surprising aspect of it is the thing that has that startled amusement that crept up on people. My professional career began as a writer. I was a writer for 30 some odd years. And when you see how much time is spent going over and over and over things, even jokes, sometimes it just takes the charge out of it. And if you have this sort of anarchic aspect, it really catches people by surprise. And you can't reproduce it the next day at the water cooler because it was in that moment. I think another aspect is the audience is watching thinking, thank God I'm not up there. Better them than me. How do they do this? I know that's a question.
And but sometimes they do this. That looks like such fun.
It looks like such fun. But, and we had kids come up.
I was just going to tell you about one quick specific example of like the surprise element. At one of our shows, we're doing an improv. It's called One Person Knows Where They Are and the Other Person Doesn't Know Anything.
Yeah.
So I was the person knowing where I was. And I created a ledge. In my mind, I was on like a New York building walking along a window ledge very high up. And so I was, you know, creating that physically. And then in my head, I was a robber. I was going to open a window and creep in. So I creeped to the window. I opened it up. And then Jason, who was my partner in it, he looked out and said, "Mom?"
But he didn't say it as a question.
No, he didn't say it as a question.
Right.
So then it became me. I was his mom because whatever is said, I can't say, no, I'm a robber and I'm in the New York. You know, it's like now I'm mom and I'm justifying why am I out on the ledge. And it led to a very funny improvisation. But of course, the audience just, they really love that. And they were in for the surprise for that as well as I was.
What kind of writing did you do, David?
I did a lot of. I was working on feature movies, TV movies, and when I moved back from Los Angeles, I worked on soap operas.
Yeah, so you did like Guiding Light, right?
Guiding Light, As the World Turns.
Yeah.
And
can you be funny on those?
Yes, you actually can be funny. And they immediately edit it out.
I was about to say, can you be funny? And they realize it.
You can once you know how the actors work. It becomes easier to put in more personality jokes rather than out loud laughing jokes because the machinery, the wheels are turning, and as long as you can slip a few things in there, they actually appreciate it, and the actors appreciate it because it gives them something to play. which God knows, I worked with a colleague of mine, and he had this sort of thousand-yard stare on his face, and he said, I've personally written this scene 27 times because the stories would repeat and repeat. So the trick was always to find something new for the actors to play, and sometimes the humor would actually perk them up, and they would play the scene, quote, real, and it would be really interesting.
You wrote for Michael Jackson?
I did write for Michael Jackson, yes. This was, let's see, after in between Nose Procedures 2 and 3, I believe.
His, not yours.
His, yes, not mine. I've had more than I can count. And then with the blue hair, I'm set.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was a series on CBS.
And the pink dots. I love the pink dots and the barrettes.
He was very shy and marvelous, marvelous, his physicality. It was like watching a cat, a panther or something. It was just it was wonderful to watch him sitting in a chair. He looked like he was moving. It was great. Yeah. And it was a family enterprise. It was a lovely family. And it was a limited series on CBS in, I think, 77.
Seven,
yes. Yeah.
That's really incredible. I mean, what an experience.
Janet and LaToya, they were, hi. They were these little kids. They were,
and once you realize that of what you're dealing with in writing, you can figure out how to mine that for whatever you're trying to do, whether it's comedy or...
Well, coming at it from this angle, again, I go back to the physical notion of when I was writing... when I do write, I hear it, and it's sort of it's a sound that comes through my body. And when I'm working with Denny or somebody, it's the same thing on a slightly different channel. It's sometimes the same energy that comes through, and we look at each other, and there's something that starts to happen. And there's an authenticity when I'm writing. There's a sort of feeling in my body that says, this is the genuine moment. And similarly, in the improv, there's a genuine moment that's happening, and that's what I go with. And it's really thrilling to be in company of so many talented people as opposed to alone in a room where the only other voice I'm hearing is also mine. I'm saying, so that's good.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It gets a little disturbing. But this one, there's actually another person saying, yeah, I think so, too.
It's interesting, too, in terms of writing. I mean, and David is, you know, you've heard his background as a writer. And then he's
amazing.
Coming to as an actor now. He's very courageous, willing, and fearless. And what I was going to say in terms of writing, in terms of improv, that's one thing we have to be kind of careful about when we're doing improvisation. And that's why it is so physical. And it is so that you don't, like, if you go on in this thing and you start in your head writing, script writing, then you know you're not doing improv because you're not being in that moment. It has to be
right.
Back and forth, you know, and together you find where you're going, and you don't know where you're going. Somebody in this book said, the guy who wrote the book Impro, that improvisation was like driving and looking through the rearview window. You know where you've been, but you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
And the thing of, like, if it works, if the two of you do something that...
We do.
We'll
be doing stuff together. We're going to do an exercise camera, which is a cool one.
So if you do something and it works...
Yeah, yeah.
And the audience responds and you think it's great, do you ever think, oh, man, we could replicate that? But you can't do that.
You can't possibly. I made the mistake, and I mean, I'm guilty. You never do that. But one time in a rehearsal, I had a really good improv with somebody, and we tried to replicate it in a performance and it sunk. You can't. It's fantastic when it happens live in front of an audience.
Yeah.
And you know, by getting together and trust and you develop all these muscles, it will happen again in front of an audience. You have to just trust it will.
I think what you replicate is that state of mind and the state of awareness
and
the openness at the first instant. So you know your starting position is fully charged up and you're wide open and you're listening and you're watching. That you can replicate. And I think that's where everything starts. And then you're in the moment. And then it just goes from there. And very quickly, you're into something. So
mm-hmm. You were what, season 6 of Saturday Night Live?
Yes, I was after the originals that were there for 5 years, and so I was in the second cast, season 6.
So
yes.
Season 5 is out on DVD, so we assume season 6 is coming?
Yes, I've heard it is coming. And
it would be great to see the stuff you did on there.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, we've seen it, but it would be nice to have it so we can watch it over and over again.
Yeah, that would be good. I'm on actually season 1, the first year, I was on the third episode with my friend Mark Hampton. We wrote a sketch called Talent Night in the Convent, and that's on. Oh, that sketch
yeah,
is
that's
on.
Great.
We were guest artists.
That's really fun. So, well, a lot going on. We want to tell you about Improv Nation. It's Denny Dillon and Improv Nation are going to take the stage Saturday night at 8 o'clock at Shadowland Theater in Ellenville. A lot of cool things going on at the Shadowland. They're
very cool things. They
renovating
have a full season,
it and working it up, and
renovating
so...
it. Brendan Burke, the artistic director, is doing amazing things. He's been great to us.
Good for them.
And I also just wanted to quickly mention, Joe, there's a new space that just asked us to perform in June called Saugerties Performing Arts Factory.
Oh, great.
We'll be there probably June 16th.
June 16th at the Saugerties Performing Arts Factory?
Yeah, it's
awesome.
A brand new space.
Go to the factory. Denny Dillon and Improv Nation will perform Saturday night at 8 o'clock at Shadowland Theater in Ellenville. You can go to shadowlandtheater.org for more information. Denny Dillon and David Smilo, what a great pleasure to have you both here. A delight.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much.